Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Find more great shows or join the team at sport-social.co.uk.
Hey friends, how are we? Thanks for joining me again, and I'm glad most of yous seem to have found the new home of the Hot Lap over here on Sports Social Podcast Network. We've got a few things to talk about this week. Obviously, we've got 3 weeks, haven't we, till the next Grand Prix. The podcast's going out slightly late. You're probably getting this slightly late on Monday because there was a bank holiday yesterday, and I got dead drunk and I just played on video games with my friend online. That was what I did instead of doing my job on Sunday. Thought I'd do it on Monday because lots of us not working, I suppose. But yeah, it felt like the bank holiday thing to do. I hope everybody's having a nice egg day. First thing to talk about is the Australian Grand Prix track layout. The change in Australian Grand Prix track layout, if you don't know. And it's quite some quite big changes. You know, it's been sort of talked about that this is going to bring the lap time down by about 5 seconds. They've made the entry into T1 slightly wider on the... obviously took away some of the grass. I mean, on the map here, it looks like it's only a small change. I'm guessing it's going to be from like scale of this map. I'm guessing it's going to be about 10 feet or something like that wider. But we've seen, haven't we, through the years into T1, there being people coming in too hot, trying to go on the inside, not the inside, being pushed out wide and hitting other people. Hopefully this will give the opportunity for overtaking a much higher chance of like getting something done down that straight. They've widened the entry into T3, which is before you get to that sort of complexy style chicaney. Sort of feels a bit like a chicaney before that flat right-hander going into 5. That will obviously aid overtaking because that's not really an overtaking spot. So any extra room you can give someone there going on the inside, you know, it's because that's a DRS zone as well. So if there's, you can overtake there, but it's so tight, it pinches you so much that obviously any sort of widening there will help overtaking. 6 and 7, it's the same story again. Going into 6, it's not really, I'd hasten to say that it's not going to be flat, but it's not the corner it was because there's literally like an L-shaped chunk being took out of it and smoothed off with a to make it like a long sweeping right-hander. That'd be interesting. That I don't know how that'll go. I mean, looking at the map, that suggests flat to me, but no, surely. Yeah, I mean, it's got less of a angle to it than 5. 5's flat, isn't it? That's interesting. So it could be flat then all the way. Wow. All the way to 8. I would imagine there'd be some sort of let off. So you could be theoretically following someone through 5, through 6 and 7 because they're kind of more of a bend now. 8 is flat usually. But obviously, you'd be at higher speed now. But if 6 and 7 are flat, so I don't know what difference that would make. 9, 10 look flat now because they've took out the chicane. So yeah, I mean, that's going to be a powerful run down to 11, and that will make 11 like a genuine side-by-side overtaking point, I'd have thought, into 11 and 12. 13 has been brought out. It's not been made wider. In fact, it seems to have been tightened on the entry, sorry, the exit, but it's made wider on the on the left-hand side on the entry into the corner. And then on 15 as well, widening of the apex. I think it's fine. I don't think there's anything. Yeah, I saw some people moan online, but that just seems to be what people do online. You know, it's if you can disagree with people and then they'll just shout at you lots. It's just how it works. So someone said something in the in my suggestions for what we should talk about on the podcast this week, I fucking know they've done it. They've done it just to fucking make me upset people, going, bam, fucking Lewis. But I don't want to upset people. Well, I do. I draw energy from it, but not today. Not today. I've got enough energy. I like the Australian Grand Prix looks fine. It's one of my favourite circuits anywhere in the calendar. It looks like it might make it a more flowing circuit. The guys that know what they're talking about seem to suggest it's going to raid overtaking can only be a good thing, and it still keeps the characteristic of the circuit itself. So it's going to be a more high speed course. I do wonder whether some of these changes that are being made now are more in line with the idea of the more raceable cars for 22, where the people are starting to try and get their ducks in the row. What else do we have? Zach Brown causing ructions everywhere. Zach Brown has basically come out and said he thinks Lewis is going to win another world championship this year. I think he's probably right over the course of a season. And then he thinks he's going to retire and he's going to walk away from Formula One. I can see that. I can see that whether he wins the world championship or not, to be perfectly honest. But the most interesting thing is he's then gone on to say that he believes that next year Max Verstappen and George Russell will be in a Mercedes. I mean, first of all, fucking team, come on. Like, I mean, would you not want to see that? I'd want to see that. Low key, I think there's a chance that Vettel and, it's not Vettel, fuck, ooh, well, I time travelled. Max Verstappen and George Russell might be the two best drivers on the grid. But obviously, I mean, I don't mean to discount Lewis Hamilton. Don't get angry at me. I know what happens. But I consider them in the same league. You know, we haven't really seen what George can do properly, but I think he's a bit special. We'll see. But that's like, and maybe this is what Mercedes are thinking. They're seeing what's happening with the field bunching up. I think you're going to need two drivers. You know, they're going to have to manage two drivers fighting for a world championship. But if the field tightens up and every other team has a Lando and a Ricciardo in it, now it's such a strong team. When you look at Mercedes, it should be a strong team, but Bottas is this big hulking weak point in the armor of that team. So I can see why they could go, right, no, we need a refresh now. We need to hit the refresh button. We've also, you know, there are rumors going around that maybe Mercedes might not be there and it might be under a different name, which is I kind of think is going to happen. So it sounds all plausible. Would you, if you were Max right now, would you leave Red Bull? Let's not forget Red Bull. I mean, although Red Bull and Honda have done some great work, they haven't necessarily caught Mercedes. Mercedes have been dragged back to Red Bull. So from that angle, you would still be a madman not to think that when these rule changes come, that Mercedes hasn't got the strength and depth within it to adapt and still be like one of the title contenders for 2022. And that's, I think that's what I'd be thinking if I was Max. If I was Max, I'd be thinking I might be a title contender with Red Bull. If I join Mercedes, I will be a title contender. And that's the way I'd be looking at it. But Toto Wolff then, in retaliation to this, turned around and said, where is the quote? Because the quote is something quite fucking special. Brown is like Christian Horner, Wolff was quoted as saying. They just spread shit. I think Zach wanted to give Christian... I think Zach wanted to give Christian one with it. I don't care. I'm not sure what that means. But I think he just means he's trying to niggle at Red Bull. But we'll see. I mean, I would be surprised. I would be surprised if Max Verstappen is happy to finish like behind a Mercedes again this year. If he's got the opportunity to sit in a Mercedes, I would be surprised if he doesn't do it. And on the other hand as well, thinking of Mercedes, they were so adamant during the contract talks with Lewis Hamilton. I mean, it seems now that they were prepared to lose Lewis Hamilton over contract length. Let's be honest, he wanted 3 years. They gave him an ultimatum. They gave him the cash he wanted by all counts, but he wanted 3 years of it. They said you can have one. So that only makes me think that they have other intentions for his seat. This whole idea of, oh, well, we wanted a year of stability before we worked a new contract out does not work in my head. It doesn't. Like, if everyone's happy together, if it's all good and there's a deal on the table, Lewis Hamilton is clearly worth the money. There has to be another option. If you're going to play poker with somebody like that, you must have some sort of hand. You can't bluff everything. So there must be something else. And you'd be a fool for thinking that Mercedes haven't been in talks with Max Verstappen since he almost left before he won that Hungarian Grand Prix, which took him over the... was it Hungarian Grand Prix? I think it was. But it took him over his points tally or championship position. He had to be in contention to a certain point. Otherwise, he had an exit clause in his contract. So if there is an exit clause from in his contract now, or this is the end of his contract, which I would think it would be, because you're supposed to be in new rules territory now, I would be surprised if there's many drivers that are booked up past 2021. You know, I know, apart from deals that were done last year, but deals that were done before last year, I think that'd be good. I'm hopeful we're going to see some sort of real driver shake-up. I'd love to see Max and Russell in the same team. I just want to see Russell in a top car and see what he can do. There's a little bit of me thinks that Russell could be the thorn in Verstappen's side. And, you know, he just looks so good, doesn't he? And I think the difference is as well, he seems to do things in a less emotional way. And if you look back through history at the guys which have really done well at Formula One, it's been the guys that have been able to sort of control their emotions and stay calm. And we always say about Lewis Hamilton, he's a great driver when everything runs smooth. But when he starts getting hot-headed on the radio, or he's unhappy during race weekends, you know he's not going to have a good time of it. Max reminds me a little bit of Gilles Villeneuve, I think. And Gilles Villeneuve was never a world champion. You know, you can have exceptional drivers that never become world champions. I wonder whether Max might be one of those people, because I think sometimes Formula One, because you get this turnover of talent, don't you? There's windows for people there, and if someone could hit a window right, they can come in. Like I always think the window of opportunity for Jenson Button, for instance, to be a multiple world champion was the Braun Honda era. Not Braun, sorry, BAR Honda era. If they could have got that car, because that car was kind of second best car at one point, behind the mighty Ferrari. And I think if they could have made that step up to fight Ferrari, I think you could have seen like the Jensen at his best, as in like young and hungry. I think he could have done some real damage, and that would have been his point. You know, he was lucky enough to get a Brawn given to him a few, like many years later. But I think, yeah, there's some people that if they don't strike at the right point, it never happens. And I can't help think that maybe Max or Red Bull haven't been able to give Max the car to capitalize on his moment. And then when he, if there is a George Russell or Charles Leclerc, even though I know you guys know how I feel about Charles Leclerc being maybe slightly overrated, but Lewis Hamilton's had this lovely window where he's only been challenged for 1 year since he joined Mercedes. 1 year he was really challenged by his teammate, and Nico won. You know, it's that's the people won't like that the way I put that across. But the one time he was challenged by somebody during his Mercedes tenure, the other person won. But saying that, the reason that he's only been challenged once is because he's destroyed his teammates regularly. I can't help think that if Max hasn't been given that opportunity to really just get into that rhythm and be this sort of fucking monster winning machine that Lewis Hamilton has been, we'll just have to see what happens with Max. But I do wonder whether his opportunity will come round. But the way Formula One's changing and shifting underneath him, he'll have more on his plate to contend with than Lewis Hamilton has. He'll have maybe a Lando Norris, maybe a George Russell, maybe a Charles Leclerc, Daniel Ricciardo in the right position with the right car. I think he could beat pretty much anybody on his day. The competition's going to be harder for Max, I think, going forward. Maybe this year might be his best chance of becoming a world champion. When you think about it, an ailing Mercedes, a car that's much better than everybody else's. Much better than everybody else's, bar the Mercedes, which it's comparable to. This is probably Max's best chance to win a world championship. And you do wonder whether, is this the year? Sometimes you look back on years of drivers and you think, oh man, you know, it's what a, like, if for instance, Schumacher taking Damon Hill out, we look back at that for that moment in Damon Hill's career, you got, should have been a two-time world champion. Same goes for Nigel Mansell with his wheel exploding. Should have been a two-time world champion. So there's points in drivers' careers, and I wonder whether this is kind of a hinge point for Max Verstappen. Anyway, enough Verstappen talk. I asked you guys for things about what we should talk about on the podcast, and I need to get the questions up here. Do you ever do that when you accidentally comment on something online, and then after 500 notifications of either people cheering you on or trying to fucking have you hung, you start thinking to yourself, I didn't have the energy for this. Why didn't I just keep my fat mouth shut? I'm having one of those days. Jaffet, I think that's your name. Jaffet, 2828 on Twitter, if you want to go and give him a follow. I do hope you people like your Twitter handles being read out. You know, it's, a follower's a follower, isn't it? You can always block people. Odds on getting a full season. I think there's a good chance of getting a full season, because it's, oddly enough, I think even in Australia last year when Formula One pulled out and everything went fucking haywire, I think if we knew what we were dealing with back then, you know, at the beginning, and that we weren't dealing with like airborne fucking Ebola on steroids, I think we might have got a full season last year if they'd have known. You know, if I mean, international travel obviously was a fucking disaster, but I just mean on the basis of what the I don't even know what I'm allowed to say now. I don't know. I know YouTube doesn't let me say in the word. We'll just say the incident. Yeah, you know, it's should we, yeah, I think we will. I don't see any reason why we wouldn't get a full season, unless there's some other fucking catastrophe happens. And let's be perfectly honest, there's every fucking chance of that. The same person, Japhet. How far back will Haas be by mid-season? As they've said, they're not going to work on this year's car. Well, they've since changed that, I read today. They're not going to work on the car, but they have said beyond fighting Williams. So clearly they don't want to be last in the championship, and they're going to do some small adjustments to that car to try and keep them ahead of Williams. We'll see. It's not good. It's not a good look for Formula One, to be perfectly honest. You know, they're running a year old car. This is things that used to happen in Formula One days of yore, isn't it? We're not used to people rocking up with like a year old chassis and bolting some new stickers on it and saying, "Tally ho, boys, let's go racing." You know, I don't like it. I don't like it for Haas. I don't like it for Mazepin, and I don't like it for Schumacher. Even both of those lads have got fucking issues. Also, shout out to Lando Norris, who called bullshit on the all the say no to Mazepin keyboard warriors in his live Twitch chat. Good man, fucking based Lando is what I say. Yeah, it's in fact, if anyone noticed that on that same stream, he also went through the overtake with him and Charles Leclerc, which was similar to the overtake between Lewis Hamilton and Verstappen, and he explained why he let off, because he'd gained an advantage, but he also explained why Max had the move done before he got the snap of oversteer. Lando doesn't think Max Verstappen should have got a penalty for that. He thinks he should have won the race. Interesting. I'll leave this one to last. That's two for the same one, sorry. Lots of you want me to talk about Vettel. I think that's what I'm going to end the podcast on, because it's pretty interesting what's going on, isn't it? I had it up on Instagram. The idea was my phone, I had the apps open, and then I was just going to go, yeah, now I've got all the stuff. But then I reopened Instagram and it just fucked me back to the beginning. Lewis Hamilton is the best racing driver of all time. That race proved it. And I say that as a diehard Vettel fan. That's from Cody975 Piscatelli, I think. Underscores between the words, numbers, words. I don't think it did. I think it proved that Red Bull can... I think Red Bull have done so well on strategy, like so well for fucking years, that they've all of a sudden got the best car on the grid, and they forgot strategy. They forgot what they were good at, and they tried to rest on the laurels of being able to win a Mercedes like Mercedes could. They tried to do the same thing to Mercedes that Mercedes did. Was it Hungary again, where Lewis Hamilton pitted? Lewis Hamilton pitted, went on the soft tyre, made up like fucking 18 seconds on Verstappen and overtook him on the last or second to last lap. They tried to do that. They tried to Mercedes, and I'm not sure whether it was a little bit of naivety from Red Bull, or excitement, the fact that they have the fastest car, or arrogance, like they're just the fact that they're right, no, we want to do to you what you've been doing to us. So maybe, but I think it was a very good drive from Lewis. Don't get me wrong. One thing, right, if you remember back in the day with Lewis Hamilton, when he shred tyres, and I genuinely believe working with Jenson Button fixed this problem for him, because up until Button joined McLaren, all Lewis could do was destroy tyres. He lost a world championship because of it in his rookie season, if you remember. I don't think so. He did, he he does well at looking after his tyres now. Like, that he's really good at it. I'd say he's probably the best at looking after his tyres with Perez, because Perez is great at doing it as well. Yeah, we've got, I've got a chance to say Jenson Button again. I'll say Jenson Button again. Jenson Button again. But he was great at looking after his tyres. Like I say, I think working with Button might have helped solve that problem. I don't know why it would do. I don't know what drivers do looking at information that could fix that. But yeah, I think Red Bull threw a race away. I think Red Bull threw a race away. I think Perez had a good race, but because of his qualifying position there, which then essentially didn't fucking mean anything, did it? Because he had to start from pit lane. He was kind of out, you know. So they didn't get what they needed to get from Perez, which is what they couldn't get from Albon or Gasly either, which was to have somebody in a pit stop window. But on the other hand, there, it's not like Valtteri was troubling anybody, was it? So it was two people fighting for a win rather than Red Bull actually being able to force the issue with strategy. I think they'll be able to through the rest of the season, because for a first race in the Red Bull, I think we said last weekend, Perez looked all right, didn't he? I think they're going to get what they want from Perez. I actually think he might get another year in Red Bull, regardless of what the Toro Rosso guys do. I think you'd be, as good as Gasly's looked lately, I think you'd be a fool to think he'd walk into that team on a second time round and do a better job than we think Perez might do. And they're not going to put Matsushita? Is it Matsushita? No, it's not Matsushita. What's his name? Tsunoda. They're not going to put Tsunoda through the meat grinder, I don't think. It doesn't seem that they're going to put Tsunoda through the meat grinder. So I can't see them promoting him after one season, just when he's so young, he's got so little experience racing. Saying that, unless Max Verstappen leaves Red Bull. Fuck. Could you imagine that? Oh my word, I hadn't even thought of it. Imagine how lucky Perez would think he is. Not only does his career get saved from being like proper mid-grid team, and not only in a mid-grid team which would fuck it when they changed name and turned it green and be at the back of the fucking field, we think, somewhere around there, we're not really sure where they are. But not only would he be lucky enough to save his career, so not just scrape back into Formula One with like fucking Williams or Haas, but he gets a Red Bull drive for a year. He's got the best car on the grid after being in Racing Point, where he thought he was going to lose his fucking career. And then Lewis Hamilton leaves Formula One, Max Verstappen goes to Mercedes, Red Bull is fucking Perez's team all of a sudden. My word, I hadn't thought of that. Perez has properly done the best move in Formula One, and we don't even know it yet, because it won't be till next year when he wins a world championship for Red Bull. Wow, yeah, sorry, I got fucking excited about that. That just blew my tiny little mind what I think is going to happen for Red Bull. I think they'll get Gasly in. I think Perez is better than Gasly, so you'll probably do Gasly. So yeah, I don't think it proved Lewis Hamilton is the best racing driver of all time. I think he's a very good racing driver. I think he's a very good racing driver that hasn't been challenged enough to be the best racing driver. In the same way as I don't think Schumacher is the best racing driver, because he cheated and he had a couple of really easy years. But let's be fucking honest, Hamilton, whereas Schumacher might have had, how many championships does Schumacher have? He has eight, or is it seven? I can't remember what Lewis has got. Anyway, whatever Lewis has got, same as Schumacher. Facts. Schumacher had a cheaty championship where he smashed into Damon Hill. And he had two, I think, really easy, unchallenged championships. The others, he had a little bit of, there was a little bit of wobble in there. You know, someone was at least in there to try and keep him honest. For a little bit, even if it wasn't till the end of the race. But like, there was definitely 2 years there where it felt like he fucking wrapped the championship up at Silverstone. Lewis Hamilton has had a Vettel challenge, which was so-so, if not a bit meh. He's had a challenge from Rosberg 1 year and lost the world championship because his engine blew up. Really, I mean, let's be honest, that's why he lost. I know I like to try and niggle the Lewis Hamilton fans a bit sometimes, but that's why he didn't win that championship. But in Mercedes, out of his, I want to say he's got eight. I'm going to fucking Google it. I have the fucking power. I can do this. Where are we? How many? How many calories should I eat? No. Look at what Ali's been searching. How many championships does Lewis Ham have? Fucking stunning content. Lewis Hamilton Wikipedia page. Hello, Lewis Hamilton Wikipedia page. He has 7 world championships. So that means Schumacher had 7 world championships. So I would say 6 of his 7 world championships have been gifts. And loads of you are going to hate me for it, but I don't care. I think he's... And it's not Lewis's fault, don't get me wrong. He was the best driver on the grid, so he got offered the best contract with the best team. It's fine. But no other team in the hybrid era has really got on terms with Mercedes. You know, we've had... this formula, I think, barring the odd race, but this particular formula of Formula One has been the most boring formula of Formula One I have watched since I started watching Formula One in 1994. And that includes the Ferrari years, because I think there was more interest in the Ferrari years. And people always turn around and say, yeah, but the mid-grid really was really tight. The mid-grid is really tight in the midfield. But you know what? I don't fucking care who comes seventh. I really don't. And like, don't get me wrong, someone comes home in fourth from seventh, from like 12th. I'll go, oh, what a good drive they had. And then tomorrow, instantly fucking forget, because I'm interested in who's fighting for world championships, because that's the sharp end of sport. So yeah, that's why I don't know who the greatest driver in Formula One history is. I mean, it depends how you look at it. Like, lots of people would say Senna. I'm not sure. I think that's a bit of a Nirvana factor. People, things, places, as soon as they cease to be, especially if they cease to be before their time, tend to be remembered more fondly. I think people, I'm going to say Fernando Alonso. It's what you're waiting for. I think Fernando Alonso is, of my generation, I think he is the most talented driver ever to touch a steering wheel. So is that best? Then in my head, you kind of think that must be best, because that's talent. Guy's like fucking 5 points away from being a 5-time world champion. Best. Isn't it weird? Somebody that's had so much success. He's raced now all around the world. Different formulas, different series. With varying levels of success, obviously. 2-time Formula One world champion. And you still think he's unlucky. I think that shows the level of talent, the depth of talent that Fernando Alonso has, that somebody with 2 world championships can be considered unlucky. I don't know if I've said it that much, to be perfectly honest, on this podcast, but the reason I've got such a soft spot for Fernando Alonso is because when I was watching Formula One, I was a massive Damon Hill fan. And then Damon went, and I believe like Button was in Formula One, wasn't he, when Fernando came in, because ultimately Fernando took his seat, didn't he, really from Benetton. I think Jensen did 1 year for Renault, didn't he, because Fernando was Jensen's test driver back in the test days. But like Jensen wasn't doing anything, he didn't have the car, and he was still dead green. there was no real, apart from Jensen, there was no real sort of British interest. Now, obviously, I'd always been a Jensen Button fan. I was never a Schumacher fan, like just never a Schumacher fan. I used to think he was arrogant. And now, actually, when you hear stories about him off track, it would appear that he's not that arrogant. He seems like quite a nice, pretty fucking generous guy. He was just a fucking ruthless racing driver, which is odd because now I would probably really enjoy that, like the ruthless streak. I always say that the quote from Fernando Alonso is my favourite sporting quote, going when they went into 130R, and he said he knew Michael would back off because Michael had children. Fucking ruthless. Ruthless. But yeah, he sort of came in and he saved Formula One from Ferrari and the Michael Schumacher winning machine. You know, he beat Michael Schumacher into retirement. And that's what I find is going to be interesting. If I think that would be the best thing for Lewis Hamilton to do, because that's what happens to people. Regardless of how good they are, at some point, someone comes along and beats them out of Formula One. And I think that's what Rosberg knew would happen to him after one world championship. He could leave with one world championship, like leave at the high point of his career. And I think that's what, if Lewis can win this world championship, I think that's what he's got. He's got the opportunity to leave. And he could still come back as well. He could still come back. And there's a little bit of me wonders whether he'd want to come back and prove it with a different team. You don't know with Lewis, do you? You know, he's got so many other things that seem to take his focus and take his interest. Not saying he's not focused. I'm just saying that he seems to have more plates spinning than, say, Max Verstappen. You wonder whether he could just drop one of the plates like Formula One and just roll with his life and not really think about it again, or is he? How ingrained is it in him? You know, you've got to. Maybe he doesn't even realize. Maybe because there's so many other things around him, he doesn't realize it's. I think we've all been in one of those positions, haven't we? Where, be it a relationship or a band or a job that we've done, where certain aspects of our life have made us blame that aspect instead of actually looking at what the problem might have been, and then we just leave. You leave the thing you enjoy doing, and then you go, "Oh fuck, I'm still fucked," and now I don't do that thing I really enjoyed. So yeah, there could be some sort of element with that with Lewis. Who knows? Anyway, right, moving on, because I fucking waffled. I've just had like a bunch of messages just saying Vettel. So yeah, let's talk about Vettel. What's going on with him? Wasn't the greatest debut. You know, I think we might have brushed over it last week. I can't remember. But it's probably worth a more in-depth look now. I want Vettel to do well. I think I want Vettel to do well because I don't want those four championships he won to be cheapened. And again, you talk about drivers that got away with it easy. Vettel had a very easy run of it for at least three of those four. You know, you had the one where, against all odds, Weber challenged him for most of the year, but Red Bull weren't going to let that happen, were they? Let's be honest. I don't know what to say about him, actually. Like, I've been trying to think about this. Like, should he have took a sabbatical? Does the Vettel name and the four world championships have the clout where he could have turned around to Lawrence Stroll and said, "I want to come and race for you, but I don't want to do the interim year. I would like to come in 2022. He could have gone away. He could have recharged himself. He could have shook off the mental niggles that he had from Ferrari. I've watched now most of Drive to Survive. I think I've got like a bit of the last episode to watch, which I actually broke off from watching to come and do this podcast. It's only in that Ferrari episode where you see him in debriefs and you just saw how depressed he was. You know, like, you don't That's the thing about Drive to Survive. I think lots of the times the way it's edited and cut up are used in a creative way. But there's certain things, certain pictures when you see people go, man, fuck, you're really angry or you're really upset. Or like when Lawrence Stroll says, you have me for an hour and a half on the first episode, or you're really busy. He looks like such a busy man. But yeah, I think Vettel's gone. I don't think he can come back. I'm sure it's going to get better for him, but he's moved to Aston Martin. I always say it wrong, and I'm sorry. He's moved there expecting something better than he's got. He expected the Mini Mercedes again. He expected a car which was at least fourth best on the grid, because I think that car was third best on the grid last year. I just think it was, you had your main driver caught the Rones and was out. You had to draft in Nico Hülkenberg with varying success. You had Lance Stroll. And I don't think they capitalised on their car when they actually had the proper potential of the thick end of that car at the beginning of the year. I don't think they quite capitalised on it. Again, they have always been a team which have struggled at the beginning and got stronger through the year. Maybe that'll happen again, but I mean, they do seem on the back foot. My predictions, pre-season prediction of the it being weird that both the Mercedes and Aston Martin were in the high rake, where everyone else was, low rake when everyone else was running the high rake, seems to be like, I'm not F1 Oracle. I just had a lucky guess. I looked at the car and went, they're different. They're different and slower. Are they going to get it back? Because that's what Vettel wanted. He wanted the stability on the rear. It's like Schumacher, he drives like Schumacher, actually, where Schumacher liked everything on the nose, and then he'd get, I think, anyway, so maybe someone will say I'm talking complete bollocks, but he liked everything on the nose, got a corner, he like broke late, got the car into the corner, dealt with whatever he had underneath him, and then booted it out of the corner. That's what Vettel had in the blown diffuser world of the Red Bull. And I think he thought he was going to get that stable rear end with Aston Martin. And he's just not. Can they fix it? That's the thing. Mercedes have, the strength and depth within that team, I think, to not only work on next year's car, but to fix this year's car to the point where they can at least match Red Bull. Because I think, by the looks of it, they're a good 0.3 to half a second down on Mercedes, on Red Bull. But I think they can claw that back. Because I think the car's got it. That's the thing. It's not that they have to find it from somewhere. They just need to sort the instability out, and that car's probably got that time in it. Aston Martin, I nearly said the pink car, do they have the strength and depth to develop next year's car and do this one? Because of all years in Formula One, if there has ever been a year to throw the towel in early on a car and concentrate on next year, this is the year. But how do you do that and then fix Vettel? Because I just hope, I think the only thing that can fix Vettel is if he's getting an arm around him. Like, he was clearly in a hostile environment in Ferrari. But if he makes a mistake in Aston Martin, and Schaffner, or however you pronounce his fucking ridiculous surname, if they've got an arm around him saying, look, it's fine, we believe in you, I think that's what he needs. I definitely believe it's bordering on, he might even have one, but it's bordering on sports psychologist. That's what's needed for Vettel. You could just see in interviews, he's so down, he's so low within himself, and he's, we've seen pictures of Seb when he's happy and light, and, he's ready to engage, and it's really good. But you look at him and he just doesn't, he's uptight. It depending on who's interviewing him, you can tell the interviewers he doesn't like and the interviews he likes. So who's the blonde lady that works for Sky? I forget her name. I think blonde lady in Formula One, I always think of Jenny Gow, and it's not Jenny Gow. It's Sky equivalent of Jenny Gow. And yeah, like she gets awkward interviews with Vettel to the point that I don't think Vettel likes her very much. Ted seems to get a better interview out of him because it's like being fucking interviewed by a womble, isn't it? He just comes bumbling over, says something stupid, has some sweets or cheese, and then the next thing is you've had a reasonably good interview with him before you could do anything about it. But yeah, he looks uptight, and I don't see a way for him to come back. And it's interesting to see what pressure will be put on him if he's getting beaten by Lance Stroll, and that's the interesting thing, because both Stroll's father and Stroll won't be able to not use that. The criticism Lance Stroll has had, they will be wanting to turn around and say, well, Lance is being a four-time world champion, so it doesn't matter if we've got more money than God, because he clearly deserves to be here, and he'd be here even if I wasn't a fucking quizillionaire. So yeah, I think we'll tell next race. I think it's going to be as quick as that. I think the next two races for Seb, if he can't shake these things off and he just needs a reasonable race, not crazy, just he needs to qualify as out-qualify Stroll by a good chunk. Race normally, make up a couple of spots, have a good start with like close to other people where we've seen Seb spin or hit somebody and stuff like that. But then keep his concentration through the race. That when he clouted Ocon in the last race, oh, what? I mean, that was just fucking clumsy. Class 2 Sebastian, though, as soon as the race was over, if you saw him park Ferme, he was out of his car and he was apologising to Ocon for it. Good guy. Just that's why I want him to do well, because he seems like an all-round good guy. I fucking love the fact he's not on social media. It's like, oh, it must be fucking bliss. It must be bliss. Even now I'm looking at my phone after my fucking stupidly getting into conversations with people online, and they're thinking that's going to have fucking 20 notifications. Jesus Christ. Sebastian doesn't have that problem, and he'd have well more than 20 notifications. Anyway, thank you for listening to this episode of Hot Lap. I hope you appreciate what I'm doing. For those of you that are new to the podcast that have come over through the podcast network, I'm lifting the lid on what I feel my podcast is. I think lots of Formula One podcasts, and there are a couple of exceptional ones, I won't lie, I listen to the BBC one because it's out on the race weekend, and I listen to The Race because I really like their analysts. And I think they come across really well. Lots of the other independent podcasts I find really dry. Certainly the bigger ones, like there's a certain big one, which is like an abbreviation for a title. They're like Orange and Black. And I think some of them lose their identity. Like some of them, they get so wrapped up with trying to be part of Formula One that they forget the reason that people were drawn to them in the first place is because they weren't Formula One. That's what people listen to podcasts for. It's not because you want to listen to a load of media trained people, or you want to listen to somebody that's like got to toe a certain fucking PC line, because they might lose their access to fucking Givinazzi. So yeah, I hope you enjoy this podcast, and I hope you realize what it is. And it's I want to be your Formula One friend. And it's like we're talking about Formula One in a pub. That's what the Hot Lap is. And I will see you next week, and the week after that. Please if you're listening to this podcast, go and give it a rating on your platform of choice, because even if you are a long-term Musty Audio fucking devotee, it needs a new fucking review, doesn't it? Because it's a new app, it's a new thing, it's a new venture. It's all through the Sports Social Podcast Network as well. So if I'm out there getting good reviews and people sharing the episodes, it's going to put me in good stead with the network as well. We can help each other, man. I can help you somehow. I don't know. Just keep it like, consider this like a little IOU, not for anything crazy. I can't get you like a new telly or anything like that. But if I'm walking through like a city centre or something like that, and you see me and you run over and go, "You're Lee," and go, "Yeah," and they go, "Look, I don't really want to talk to you, but I need a bus, and I've only got half a bus fare," I can probably go, "Fuck yeah, did you review my podcast?" And you go, "Yeah." I was like, "Well, there's your fucking thing. I owe you one, man. Go get your bus." Goodbye.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network.